My talk, let me give you some background here. It's so I'm considered non-financial risk factors and weather and climate is an example. So imagine that we try to consider weather derivatives. The underlying process is the temperature, and that's not tradable. So we cannot price this kind of instrument by hedging. So we want to propose some pricing. So this is the motivation of the talk. So I will jump into the model right away. So maybe unlike some of the talks here, we consider multi-period models. So there is more than one period. And usually this will come with many problems, one of them being the time consistency that Professor Burge referred to. But we'll see that in a moment. So in this model, there is a tradable and non-tradable asset. And then we have the randomness driven by a two-dimensional random walk, and there is a Markov chain also. So we have n plus 1 trading date. And then we have the tradable asset, which is a stock or a commodity, and has its price given by these dynamics. DB1 is the random walk, and then the return and the volatility is adapted to this filtration, which is generated by the two random walks and the Markov chain. So in particular, we can capture a model where the volatility and the return can switch among different states of the markets. So we have this Markov chain that will describe different states of the market, or we have the classical examples of bull and bear market, but we can have more states of the market than that. And then we have a non-tradable risk process that you can think of, for example, the temperature. For example, people try to approach these instruments written on non-tradable assets by finding an asset which is very correlated. They try to find a tradable asset which is very correlated, highly correlated with the non-tradable one. For instance, in California, there is the people observe a high correlation between temperature and energy prices, and that's because, for example, in a hot summer, there is a high demand of electricity through the usage of air conditioning, and then this high demand will electricity will lead to higher electricity prices. So higher temperatures will lead to higher electricity prices, and that would explain the correlation. So so the example would be the temperature and the electricity prices. So S1 would be the electricity price, and S2 would be the temperature. And now what we try in this work, we try to price some instrument which is written on this non-tradable asset, which I call S2. So now there is some agent which who trades into the S1, which is the tradable asset, and then of course there is a money market account, but we take it zero. We assume that we take the bond as the numerator. And now we have an exponential utility. So Professor Burge mentioned something about exponential utility, and he also mentioned something about some gamma being stochastic. So that's our example here. So we assume that there is an investor whose risk aversion will change through time. And then I'm going to motivate that by the fact that there is a strong connection between the market sentiment and people risk aversion. And another way to think of this stochastic risk aversion, in this case we take only two states, bull and bear market, but it can be also two moods of some investor. Investors can be pessimistic or optimistic, and that will lead in different risk aversions. For instance, it was observed that in bear markets there is a higher risk aversion. So we'll assume that, for example, zero is the bear market, one is the bull market. So in the bear market, gamma will be higher. Now, we are not the first to assume this modeling. So there is some literature by now which assumes time-changing risk aversion. So I'll briefly talk about it now. So, for instance, in some paper, Gordon and St. Amour assumes exactly that the risk aversion changes with the two states of the market, bull and bear. And they motivate this change by the fact that it can explain some asset price movements, which fixed preference paradigm cannot explain. And then some other works assume that the representative agent's coefficient of risk aversion varies with the underlying economy growth. Or some work, for instance, explain the equity puzzle by state-dependent risk preferences, so by a time-changing risk aversion. And then maybe I'll hold this like this, so I think it's better. So, for instance, another paper shows that dynamic risk aversion play a critical role in dynamics of asset price fluctuations. So it appears somehow natural to have this modeling approach, but this modeling approach should lead to some time inconsistencies that we'll see in a moment. But I started with the motivation of the talk was to price some instrument written on some non-tradable underlying, and then we tried to use the utility indifference approach, which is very popular in the academic environments. Perhaps even in the industry, maybe people started to use this approach. So there is a huge literature on this topic, and then now related to my framework, which is a discrete multi-period model, I'll just refer to some two works in which they construct iterative algorithms to obtain utility indifference prices. Now, in our context, we look at the maximal expected utility an agent will get if he writes the contract. That's one case where the utility he gets if he doesn't write a contract. So if he doesn't write the contract, the utility is the utility he gets of the final wealth. So X here stands for the investor's final wealth, given that he trades into that tradable asset. Alpha here stands for the trading strategy. Now, on the other hand, if he writes the claim, then he has to pay the contingency, so we assume that the claim is both on S1 and S2. S2 is the non-tradable, so think of an example, weather derivatives. If he does write the claims, then he has some maturity to pay the contingency, and the final wealth will be decreased by this amount, and then he will look at the optimal utility of this, and then he wants to say, well, by how much he should be compensated for writing the claims, that will lead in the same optimal utility as in the case if he didn't write the claim. So in short, that's the utility indifference price. Now, the problem is, as Professor Birch here mentioned, some time inconsistencies. So the problem here is that if the agent decides to adopt this pricing approach by utility indifference, then he wants to find the optimal utility, and then at some point he will compute the optimal utility. But then the problem is this is time inconsistent, because the optimal strategies computed at some time may fail to remain optimal at later times, because the optimal strategy computed at some time was computed under that time risk aversion, and at some later time markets can shift or moods can shift, and then the investor may have a different risk aversion, and because of that the past optimal strategy is no longer optimal, so we have this time inconsistency. So if we decide to adopt this approach, we have to come up with a time consistent criterion for this problem of utility maximization with time changing risk aversion. So before I get into that, our market is incomplete here, so we have several martingale measures, but it turns out that one of them is important in finding the price of our instrument. So among all the martingale measures, we'll select one which places the same weights on the DB2 is the non-tradable asset. And for the tradable asset, which is represented by DB1, this random walk, we'll do the risk adjustments with theta being the market price of risk for the traded component or traded asset. So this martingale measure, in fact, will turn out to be the minimal entropy martingale measure. But now I want to present a time-consistent criterion for this optimization problem. So that's done by backward induction. So naive optimization doesn't work here unless there is a commitment strategy, because people solve the optimization problem, they find some optimal strategy, later on parameters will change, risk aversion will change, then that will create the inconsistency. So now we go by backward induction. So we take our time period, and for the last time period we just solve the pure optimization problem. And now if we go two periods, for the last two periods we solve this optimization problem, but we assume that we fix the optimal strategy from the last period, and we only optimize for the time period n minus 2, n minus 1. So it's a backward induction algorithm. So the first problem is pure optimization, P2, when we go to two periods, we use whatever was optimal in P1, and then for n minus 2, n minus 1, we optimize only for that period. And then so on, for instance, if we want to go for problem n, so that's the last n periods, for the last n minus 1 periods, we take the optimal strategies that were computed in the previous problems, and then we maximize this criterion with this restriction. And this will be, in fact, these strategies will be sub-game perfect. And now we want to define the idea of indifference price given this this criterion and this time-consistent optimal strategies. So the indifference price of some contingent claim with this payoff is the price that makes the investor indifferent, is the price that will lead to the same optimal utility. So now, why do I want this price? Think of some instrument with 5 years maturity. I price this instrument by utility indifference. Well, that price will take into account the risk aversion I face now, which may be affected by the state of the market. Now, maybe 1 year down the road, markets will shift in a different state, my risk aversion will change. Well, now the price I computed now won't reflect that change, because for an indifference price to be a transaction price rather than a benchmark price, one has to compute the and implement the strategies that will lead to that utility, right, that that defines the price. So that's the motivation. So I want to have a price which reflects this changing in risk aversion, and that's the way I do it, through this time-consistent criterion, which will give me some value function V, and the indifference price is this quantity that I makes me indifferent in terms of optimal utilities. So now I will just present the algorithm for computing this price. And like as I said, for this price to be a transaction price, I also have to find and implement the trading strategy that will lead to this utility V, which defines the price. So there will be an algorithm. So first I go for the last time period and minus one N. And now the indifference price that I find, it's of this form. And now this would be, if we think of one period model, then we don't have this problem of time consistency. But what we learn from this, so this is the case of one period, then in a one-period model, we cannot have a time-changing risk aversion, but we learned that this indifference price is increasing in the coefficient of risk aversion. And now I want to say the main result. So we define some pricing kernel, which will depends on the optimal wealth level. So those are wealth increments. Given alpha hat would be the optimal strategy according to this criterion that I described. And lambda here stands for the writing lambda shares of the contingent claim. So I define this pricing kernel. And then in terms of this pricing kernel, the utility indifference price has this form. So it's like what I have in the one period model, except that I have to have this adjustment process here, and this will contain this changing in the risk aversion. And then we also want to compute the trading strategies, which are on this slide here, because like I said, so the optimal strategies, which I call equilibrium because I use this time consistent criterion, they are of this form. They are important, like I said, because an investor has to implement them such that the indifference price will make sense. But now we want to compare our results. What if we have a constant risk aversion? So in that case, the optimization criterion I proposed by backward induction, in fact, coincides with the standard optimization criterion, and then the equilibrium strategies that I proposed, they coincide with the optimal one. And then in that case, I have this recurrence relationship for the indifference price, and usually people refer to this as the semi-group property of the indifference price. And then in this case, we also see the increase in the risk aversion. So now perhaps this was more theoretic. We want to see some results, some numerics. We did some numerics, and I don't know how much time I have. 7 minutes. So we did some numerics. So we consider a European call option on the non-traded asset with some values. So rho is the correlation between the traded and non-traded asset. And First, we wanted to understand, so we have different model parameters here. We have the risk aversion, which changes with time, and we also have the market parameters, which can switch according to the states of the market. We wanted to do numerics in which we want to vary one parameter at a time. So in the first step, we keep all the coefficient constants except the risk aversion, which assume that in a bear market, there is a 20% increase in the risk aversion. So then we wanted to plot, I don't know if, so we wanted to plot the percentage change in the indifference price with the reference point being the indifference price of a model without regime switching. So in this case, we take the benchmark to be the indifference price for fixed risk aversion, for a time constant risk aversion, and then we plot the percentage change. For instance, here, if I take the red one, so J0 means that at time zero, the market is in a bear state. And then as I increase the risk aversion, I see that this percentage difference goes from zero, almost zero, to anywhere to 55%, which is quite a big change. Then we wanted to see the effects of the changes, for instance, in the stock or the traded assets return. So we want to see the effect of that. For instance, now we assume a fixed risk aversion, but we assume that the mean rate of return is mu1, and in a bear market there is a decrease by 0.2. And then we see again the percentage changes. And then what we see here, we see smaller changes. Changes are up to maybe 20% in this case, if we only change the market coefficients. Then we do this. The last one is when we change the volatility. We assume that in a bear market we have some volatility, and then there is an increase in the bear market. So then we also see some changes, but again they are at most 1%. So now we see that the most dramatic changes we had. In the first case, when we changed the risk aversion by 20%, in that case we get the percentage change of almost 45%. So that says that changing in investors' preferences may have a big impact on prices. And I can conclude now. We have an equilibrium, a time-consistent approach to indifference pricing in a model with stochastic risk aversion. We proposed a recursive algorithm for this utility indifference prices, and then numerical experiments shows the percentage changes in prices if some other parameters are changing. And